deal on doing Lori and
the
Julia
views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the ParaX Radio Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and here we are on a snowy Tuesday in Minnesota.
I know, and normally we don't talk about weather, but
we don't.
It's already snowing here.
We have, like, at least 7 inches at my house, can I just say? It's crazy. It's yeah.
But, you know, we were saying, I'm trying to say two different things because I see Dave in the chat room is going, the gathering. So I'm, like, starting to get all my words twisted because I was laughing. But... you know, I was saying earlier before the show started that really, can we be surprised with anything this year?
No. Absolutely.
Can anything now? I'm not trying to tempt fate or anything, trust me. But can we be surprised with an early snow like this?
Absolutely
no.
Not.
I shouldn't be. I'm
absolutely
not.
No, I'm not either. I'm just thankful that I think it's probably going to melt and maybe we'll have, you know, I can get those leaves raked up before the real snow comes, right?
Yeah. That's, well, you have leaves. I don't have leaves, so that's nice. I'm glad. I don't know why I don't have leaves. I have a lot of trees, but a lot of property, too. And I think because of the wind, the last, like, 3 or 4 days, they blew all the leaves away. So we have no leaves to rake.
Wasn't that nice?
Zero.
Because, you know, I have a squash yard, so I have big, humongous trees. And actually, the maples are only about halfway off yet. You know what I mean? And there's a lot
of leaves. Yeah, all the leaves haven't fallen. That's true. But literally no leaves on the ground. So we have nothing to rake so far.
Well, if you want to come and rake, we have plenty.
No, I didn't say I wanted to. I just said we don't have any, and I'm glad for that.
Oh,
I had to set up a huge display, Halloween display, and that's enough work out in the yard for me. So,
yeah, Karen's saying she's got layers and layers of leaves. Yes, I do. I was actually thinking I might, you know, cheat this year and hire somebody to do it. I don't know. We'll see. Because I just don't have time. And every time I have time, there's high winds. So you can't really rake when the winds are so high. So it's like just
unless you're going to try and bag them.
Well, you can't even do that though, right? Because they fly everywhere and oh my God, it's just a mess. So
unless you have a yard like mine where they can just blow away and then that's
right.
Great.
Right. And I have
helpful
6-foot privacy fence across my whole backyard. So that doesn't happen.
Yep. I used to have that. I know it.
Yeah.
So what you been up to?
Oh, I've just been hanging, kind of getting ready for this weekend. You know, Squatchers, we're going up north. We're going to do, we're going to be up doing some investigations. And I think we're going to try to do a Squatch chat on Facebook on Friday night. So it'll be really fun. I'm excited. It's kind of hard though, because, you know, I just got back from traveling, so now I'm going to go again. But, you know, it's okay, because then I'll be home for a long time, I think.
Well, and this is different traveling. It's not airplane going long distances. It's just road trip.
Being in a car. It's just being
a little
in a
road
car.
Trip.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. But, yeah, so I've been just kind of trying to get things settled around here, and goodness, busy, I guess. How about you?
Same thing, just getting ready for a trip this weekend. We leave Thursday for the Palmer House Spirit Experience weekend. And thankfully, I can have it, but I have a very small, intimate group this year because of COVID, which is fine. I'm excited to see how this plays out compared to another you know, weekend. Normally we have about 45 to 50 people, depending on how, you know, how many people share rooms and all that stuff. And I don't oversell so that people book in other hotels. I just keep it to who can fit in the Palmer House normally. But because of COVID, we have to keep our group really small. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that might shift the activities and the spirit feel of the activities. I think it will be a little stronger. You know, when you have a smaller group, sometimes you have more activity. Right. So I'm hopeful that that's the case, but no matter what, it'll be fun. And I will be happy to have a small group that I can be a little bit more maybe connected to, because there are weekends that we, you know, you just can't talk to everybody for more than a couple. When there's just more than a couple minutes, I try and connect with everybody every weekend. But, you know, this weekend I'll probably be able to sit and have a few more conversations with people, which will be nice. I'm excited for that. So, getting ready for that, you know, it's just a lot of prep work.
So we're both busy. We're both traveling again, and, you know, we'll have stories to tell next week too. So, you know, whatever, it'll be fun.
And then Rain in the chat room said, is that the Palmer House in Chicago? Not that Palmer House. It's the one up in Sauk Center, Minnesota. But I have not been to the one in Chicago. I've run an event twice a year up at the one in Sauk Center here, and they're very gracious hosts. So I like going there. It's close, and people like going there. So anyway, this is a big group, a new group of people. A lot of the people that are coming, I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Good.
Yeah. So fun. Well,
so we have a phenomenal guest tonight. I'm really excited to have her back on.
Yes. It's different than we did it last year, but we're adapting to COVID.
So last year we had a big studio audience and we were in your studio, and let me just say, she's a phenomenal author who lives right here in the metro area of Minnesota. And everyone, welcome Wendy Webb to the Gathering Radio Show.
Hey, Wendy. I'm Wendy.
Hey, ladies. I'm so happy to be back. And you're right, it was so much fun to do it in the studio last year, but we got to be responsible citizens here. And and plus it's snowing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we would have planned it in person this year, this would have thrown a monkey wrench into it anyway. We'd probably still be sitting at home respective Skypes.
Exactly.
It's all good.
So I have to ask just quickly about the Palmer House. Is that the one that is supposedly haunted by Sinclair Lewis?
Yeah. He actually worked there when he was younger. He worked at the front desk, I believe, and he lived down the street. Actually, one of his childhood homes or earlier homes was actually down the street. And so that's where they say the setting for Main Street, his book, Main Street, was set in Sauk Center, which kind of had the whole town up in arms when it first came out. Kind of a bit of a tell-all, you know, fictional tell-all. But that's the rumor anyway. But yeah, we actually toured his childhood home as well, one of the first times that we went up there, and it was really neat.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to have to come with you sometime.
Oh,
that
you should.
Like a lot of fun.
We have loads of fun. And it's a good time. We do a lot of different events throughout the weekend that make it kind of a mix of paranormal and Halloween and whatever, because, well, the October one, of course, we mix Halloween in. But it's a really neat place, and interesting history there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So let me know. We'll get you hooked up.
Absolutely.
So Wendy, you have a new novel out this year that's coming out November 1st, but you can read it now. You can get it on your Kindle.
It's called The Haunting of Bryn Wilder. Mm-hmm. And I am very relieved to report that it's been on the top 10 bestseller list on Kindle for 3 weeks now.
Yay!
So,
awesome.
I always, you know, whenever you put a book out, you wonder, is anybody going to like this thing? Even now, you know, at this stage in my career, I just always hope. I'm really relieved that people are liking it. And, you know, we can talk a little bit more about it, but I got this email from a reader about a week ago. And the book is about, it's got a, you know, it's paranormal, it's creepy, it's got a whole, there's a whole time travel thing going on, but at its core, it's about love. And there's a scene in there that I wrote about death. And I wrote it, and I was bawling. I was sitting out on my deck on a nice summer day, and I was bawling like a crazy woman writing the scene. And I got an email from a woman who told me she just lost her husband of 53 years.
Mm.
And she was just kind of at sea. This happened about 4 weeks ago. And she said reading that scene gave her hope. And she said it just helped me put one foot in front of the other. Wow. And I read that, and then I just laid on my bed and bawled for like an hour. I thought, you know, I just wrote this thing. Mm-hmm. And it really, really touched somebody. And, you know, you can get all the accolades in the world. You can get on all the bestseller lists in the world. But having that happen is just, it's just life-changing. It really was.
I bet. Wow. That is awesome. And, you know, like I told you before the show, I had no idea I could get my hands on this before November 1st. And then I can't remember, I think it was yesterday morning, I was looking on your Facebook and you had said something like 3 weeks ago saying that you could download it on Kindle. And I'm like, oh my God. So I immediately downloaded it, spent hours, well, about 3 or 4 hours reading it. I'm happy to say I'm about halfway through it. I think it's phenomenal. It's hard to put down. I really thought, I was hoping I'd have more time today, so I'd have more, but I want to be able to relax and read it, honestly. So, but I think it's phenomenal. And, you know, you're one of my very favorite authors, can I just say.
Oh,
that your last book about Lake Superior, Daughters of the Lake, oh my God, that I read, like, in an evening. I couldn't put it down. You know what I mean?
Oh, my. Well, and so my new thing now is I really like to set stories in that same town.
Mm-hmm.
So Haunting of Vern Wilder is set in that same town. I call it Wharton, but of course, fooling nobody, it's Bayfield.
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting what you said about Sinclair Lewis and engendering some bad feelings about his own town. That's why I fictionalize places, because in my first book, it was Mackinac Island, fictionalized it. I didn't want to offend anybody. And the same thing with Bayfield. I call it Wharton. Everybody who's been there knows that that's the setting, but I just don't want to offend anybody who really lives there by, you know, setting some creepy stories in their town.
But it's, oh, they're so magnificent. And I love that Lake Superior is always central to these stories, because I've always thought Lake Superior was its own spirit myself, you know? And you sure...
I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, she does. I mean, she does seem like spirit, doesn't she? She doesn't seem like just a lake. She is a spirit, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. With moods.
Yes. Yes. It's a very moody, like, you know, I'm kind of a moody girl, so maybe that's why I really like Lake Superior a lot. You know, it's like there's just something for everyone.
Well, and I can't tell you how many people have told me that they go up to Lake Superior to recharge, but it's more than that. Like, when I've had a loss, I want to go to Lake Superior. Mm-hmm. When I, you know, am depressed, I want to go to Lake Superior. When I'm feeling, you know, this way or that way, when I'm happy, I want to go to Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
And that really says something. And I feel the same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just sitting on that lake shore will just take everything away. You know, it's just awesome.
It does. And, you know, when I was like, I can't remember how old I was, but I was 16 or 17, and I went with my best friend, Jackie, who passed away several years ago now, but her and her sister and her mom and her grandma was a real young mom, right? She was like 18 when she had Jackie. And then her grandma was young too, but they took us around. We did the whole circle tour around Lake Superior.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll just never forget it. You know, it was the best thing ever, right? So they took these kids and went to Duluth, and then we took the upper half first. I guess most people go the other way, but we took the upper part first.
Oh, wow.
And then came back through Wisconsin and, you know, Michigan and stuff. And I'll never forget it. It was just the coolest thing ever. So, you know, you went across that bridge there that stretches over Lake Huron too, you know, and it was just the coolest thing, you know?
It is. It's mystical.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful.
Just, you know, there are some places on Earth that just have this otherworldly feeling, like,
yeah.
I've always thought Lake Superior is alive.
Yes.
And it really feels like that.
Yes.
It really feels like that to me.
I think so. And you hit the nail right on the head with your books, because that Daughters of the Lake, oh my God, that was such a chilling story. But right, you know, because you hear, for those of you who haven't read the book, there's a part in there where this woman discovers these bodies in the lake that have been there for like a century. And every once in a while, you hear about this, where they find these bodies that are perfectly preserved, and they're from like 2 centuries ago or something. Like, I remember hearing about one Native American woman that had surfaced, and she was, you know, fully dressed in buckskins and the whole nine yards, you know, and somewhere up by Duluth. I don't remember exactly where. But, I mean, it's just, your books are just right on the head. Like I said, it's just amazing how you talk about it.
Well, and to me, you know, when I would read those stories, I was working early on in my career at Lake Superior Magazine. And so we did a lot of writing about the lake, and I did a lot of research at the Maritime Library in Superior, and they've got these old newspapers. That's where I got the idea for my first book, actually, because I came upon this story about the perfect storm on Lake Superior. Well, it was on all the Great Lakes. Happened in 1913. And these three storms converged in November, sent all the ships to the bottom on all the Great Lakes that day. And so reading about that kind of stuff, it's just the power is amazing. And then when you hear that, you know, these bodies, like this woman you were talking about, can resurface and they look like they're just sleeping. And it's almost like the lake is holding on to them and taking care of them and then sending them ashore at the right time. And that's how Daughters of the Lake started.
Well, and then, you know, when we were growing up and there was the whole, the Edmund Fitzgerald went down, and it's still there, right? With all the souls on it are still there.
Yep. The guys are still
Lake
there.
Spear.
And it's, it's a grave site.
Yeah.
They don't allow diving.
Yep. Oh yeah. It's the whole thing is just spooky, otherworldly, like you said, otherworldly, but it makes you happy. It can bring you up. If you feel moody and you go up there, that's cool, because the lake is oftentimes very moody.
Oh, I love it in November. I just absolutely love that theory. And the lake does play a part in the new book too, Haunting of Bryn. There's a couple of scenes that'll make you cry at the end of the book involving the lake and not giving anything away, but
no,
but you know, you gotta do that.
For sure. So tell us the premise of the book, because like we said, a few characters from the Daughters of the Lake is in there. Kate's in there. Simon's back.
Kate's in there, and Nick and Simon are in there. And actually, when I started writing it, and I told my editors, well, I'm setting another book here in Wharton, and my editor said, is Simon going to be in there? So he's in there, but it's about, the story revolves around a different main character who comes to Wharton after a really tumultuous time in her life. And I took a lot of this from my own life. A few years before I started writing this book, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. I helped her through that. she passed away. One of my best friends also passed away from cancer during that time. Oh. I broke up with the man I was with for 20 years and moved to an apartment for the first time since college. Mm-hmm. And my dog died. And so it's like, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. And it was just this time where I didn't even know which way to turn. And so I turned to my writing and wrote about a woman who had experienced all that stuff. So that stuff is not in the story, but it's, she's experienced all this terrible loss.
Mm-hmm.
And now what? Mm-hmm. And so I envisioned, I actually got the idea, excuse me, when they asked me to come and speak to the high school in Bayfield. Mm-hmm. And so I went up there and did that. And after that talk, I went and had lunch at Grunke's Inn, if any of the listeners are familiar with that. It's a really famous place in Bayfield. It's a restaurant, but it started its life a century ago as a boarding house. And apparently it's one of the most haunted places in Bayfield. I was the only one in there, talked with the server. She knew who I was. And she said, oh, you got to hear about these hauntings. And so I decided to stay there for a couple nights. And so I thought, okay, so I've got this idea, this woman who's coming off of these losses, and I've got this setting, and that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's about, and then there's another, well, there's a couple other real things in the book too. There's a character that you have read now, mm-hmm. that I call the Illustrated Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's based on the man in my life.
Oh.
Now, yes.
Oh.
And he came into my real life 4 years ago when I was just kind of reeling from all these losses. And he brought laughter back into my life. And I started calling him the Illustrated Man, because he's got a lot of tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about the real book, The Illustrated Man, and how mystical and weird and wonderful that book is, written by Ray Bradbury in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of came into it too. So all these real life things intersected, and it helped me create this strange and otherworldly and, kind of creepy story. And mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you're liking it.
I love it. I love it. And you know, what's funny is I said, I wish I would have, I could have probably carved out more time today to read more of it, but I'm like, okay, I know what it's about. I've read about half of it now. I can just, you know, take my time and read the rest of it. But you know, in all reality, once I start reading it, I won't put it down and it'll be done in a few hours.
Well, see, and that's the thing. And you know, that's how I write, too. Mm-hmm. It takes me a long time to get to the halfway point, because I'm kind of plotting and I'm thinking, and so what are these characters and who are these people? And you know what? The thing that takes most time? Naming.
Yes.
Naming the people. Yeah. It's like naming a baby. It's like, oh, what am I going to call this person? And I just,
well, because it's permanent.
It.
Yeah.
And it's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And but once I get to about the 50% point, then it's just typing. Mm-hmm. And I write it as fast as you read it.
Yeah,
and I just can't wait to see what's happening and what's going on. And that's just the fun for me.
Yeah, that is so cool. That is so cool. I love it. And I'm sure it will have more. You know, Daughters of the Lake had quite a few surprises in it too. I mean, even at the end was quite a surprise. So yeah,
I love the end of that book. I just, I won't lie. The ending was the best to me.
Yeah.
That was the most satisfying.
Yeah.
Scene that I think I've ever written.
Oh gosh. It was phenomenal. And then the book before that was the one about I can't think of the name. Help me out here. The one about the sanatorium.
Oh yeah. The End of Temperance there.
That's right, that one.
I've got some news about that.
Oh, yes. Do tell.
Well, I'm not gonna give it all away, but I put it this way: I will have really good news when the contract is signed in blood. But it looks like this is going to be a TV series.
Ooh. Oh, that's awesome!
That is really awesome.
I know. I just got the word last week.
That is so cool, because that is such a cool book. And, you know, for me, you know, I know you know about the Nopeming Sanatorium up in Duluth. And
yes,
it's very haunted. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I'm scared to go there, frankly.
Well, you know what? Our crew went there, and it was like January, right? I wanted to be one of the first people ever in there. And so we went, it was like January 21st or something in Duluth, Minnesota. It was like freezing. You know, the roof was bad. So it was like an ice rink. Yeah. And it was like an ice rink in there because the roof leaked and there was ice everywhere. But yeah, that was a phenomenal. It's very, there's a lot of spirits in there. I would love to go back, but it's not a safe place. I mean, it's not safe structurally. Heidi was there like 6 months later in the summertime, and you had a totally different experience. You were more worried about the mold spores and everything else going on. Yeah. But yeah. So it's really sad. But when I was reading that book, you know, I'm like, gosh, I wonder if you based it on Nopeming, you know, because Nopeming is right on the lake too. You know what I mean? And things were different though. And I know it was a different one that you based that book on.
It was actually outside of Bayfield, which started the whole Bayfield ball a rolling, mm-hmm. because there was a sanatorium right outside of Bayfield called Pure Air. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got the idea for that book is my grandfather was there and survived, but my grandma's sister went there as a child and she died. And so that has kind of been in my family history. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's why I decided I would, it's like, you know, I did some research and found that they called these places waiting rooms for death,
yeah,
because they didn't know too much about how to treat TB back in the day. And that's what they right. were for. You got TB, you went into these places. And so I thought, ooh, that's really creepy. Yeah. And that book, yeah. I think Temperance, The End of Temperance Dare, that's the scariest book I've written.
It is a scary book. I know. I kind of had to put it down and walk away from it a few times.
Well, my son, too. My son read it and just went, Mom,
like, I know.
What's lurking inside of you?
Oh, it's good to keep people on their toes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's yeah. right.
It was a good, but it couldn't be set in a better place, because almost every, we've done, you know, as a paranormal investigator, I've done a lot of those tuberculosis sanatoriums, and everyone is just full of spirits. And, you know, sometimes I feel like they're hunting us rather than the other way around, you know?
That's why I'm kind of scared to, people have asked me, have you gone to Nopeming? And it's like, no,
no,
it's not.
Well, tell me, what is in that place where that sanatorium stood? Is it just empty land now or vacant land?
Oh, you're going to die when you hear this. Okay. Oh, no. So, no, it was empty land for a long time. And actually at that, when I did the reading at the high school, a lot of teachers came up to me and talked about growing up in that area, and everybody was afraid of that place. It just had this vibe. They were afraid of it. And but recently, I'm going to say like 10 years ago, somebody put a high-end restaurant on that site.
It was called
Wild Rice. This beautiful building. I've been there. Great restaurant. But the restaurant closed. And now it's a retreat for artists and writers.
Oh,
just like in my cool. book.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
What?
Cool.
I couldn't believe when I heard that. I heard that about a year ago, that they had turned that Wild Rice into a retreat for artists and writers. And for listeners who don't know, my book, Temperance Dare, is set in an old sanatorium on that very site mm-hmm. that I turned into a retreat for artists and mm-hmm. writers.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
So it's like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should. I'm an artist and a writer. I can maybe go there.
There you go.
I wonder if they have any activity there. Yes, you should go there and then report back. Maybe we can do an investigation there and do a radio show there or something. You know, wouldn't that be fun? Oh, my gosh.
I think that would be really fun. Because you know what? That's a really good idea.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Here's what I know. And up in Walker, Minnesota, there used to be a really big tuberculosis sanatorium called Agua Ching. And it has since been razed to the ground, and it's just vacant land now. But you go there, and there are many spirits that remain there everywhere, you know? So that's why I think they're probably still there in that new building.
Oh,
and on the whole land. Yes, yes. It really is. I think they just, well, they had such a terrible life there, and they don't know what else to do, I think. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Sure. I'm familiar with Walker, too.
Yeah.
I've heard about Agua Ching.
Oh, yeah. So it's right before you get into Walker, actually. I think there might be an actual road called Agua Ching. I'm not sure. But we've been there and strolled around the property. And, yeah, it is craziness up there. So, you know what, Heidi? We're 30 minutes past the hour. We need to go to commercial break. So we will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. And we have Wendy Webb here with us tonight. We're talking about her new book that officially, unofficially comes out in November. I'm not sure I've got my copy ordered, but you can get it unofficially, officially now on Kindle. Right? Yes. Is that the deal?
Yes, it's available now. It's a special promotion they're doing on Kindle. So you can hop online and get it now on Kindle. Or it comes out officially November 1. So, I'm awesome. I'm excited about it. I'm really gratified. And, of course, you know, they always tell authors never to read reader reviews. They just tell you just don't read them. Of course I read them. And I'm, you know, sure you get some people who just, there's always going to be the haters.
Yeah.
But then it's the people who love what I've written.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of heartfelt letters and reviews really do mean something to me. Because, you know, as an author, I write these things in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them out into the world. And to know that I've entertain people or touch people or maybe scared them a little bit in a good way. Mm-hmm. It's just, it makes it all worthwhile. It's really awesome.
I bet. And you know, it's really fun for those of us who have grown up in Minnesota and even around the Great Lakes, even around, you know, Lake Superior, to read these things. Cause it's like, even at the start of this book, this woman was looking, Brendan was looking at Minneapolis in the rearview mirror or something. I'm like, hey, this is where we are. You know what I mean? It's just, it's fun because you name all these places and we're very familiar with them. You know, it's like, oh my God, this is so cool. Go ahead.
Oh, well, people ask me, you know, because the genre that I write in, and I didn't even start out to write in a genre. Mm-hmm. I just wrote a book that I wanted to read, and apparently it's Gothic suspense. Mm-hmm. And that just means there's a big old house that probably is haunted, and there's a strong heroine who's trying to solve some sort of mystery. Maybe there's a little bit of romance involved. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, you know, the spirit of a Gothic novel. And usually they're set down south or they're set in England, like on the moors, you know, they have all these brooding novels there. But nobody had ever set one up here before on the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I sent this to the Twin Cities Book Festival was just last week. And it's like, well, yeah, I set it here, and it was almost just out of laziness because this is where I live, and I wasn't going to travel down south to live there for a long time to learn all about that community. I know about this community. I know about this area, and so I set it here, and apparently nobody had ever done that before. No. So, it's kind of cool. People are learning about our area and the Great Lakes and in this genre. So
yeah, I think it's fabulous. So we have a question from Dave in our chat room, and he's saying John Sanford, who has written the Prey series, has said often that he knows how the book is going to end when he begins to write and fills in the story. Do you use any particular forma when you are writing new books?
Absolutely not. If I knew how the book was going to end, when I started writing, people would know how it would end on page two. I just cannot keep a secret. I would it would be telegraphed throughout the book. So, and I actually tried once because William Kent Kruger, who you guys might know, is a really great Minnesota author, and he and I were talking about process. And he said, well, Wendy, I outline my books really carefully. And then, you know, I spend a lot of time on the outline. So then when I start writing, I don't have to worry about where the story is going. I can just focus on the language. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a really good idea. It worked for you. Maybe I'll try that. And I tried it, and it was a disaster for me. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. I like not knowing. Mm-hmm. I go in with a place and a general idea and maybe a main character. But then I just start writing. And I love writing the way that people read. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what's going to come around the next corner? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens. And because I'm excited and interested and kind of caught off guard, I think my readers will be too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. And that's why we can't put it down once we start reading it, Wendy. See, it's like you writing it. You were saying you write it as fast as I read it. And that's why. So I think it's fabulous. I can't imagine writing an outline either. I know there's a lot of people who do that for a lot of things, right? But you know, I'm kind of like you myself. It's like, oh no, we're just going to keep going because, you know, we don't need to know that right away. But yeah, I think you, well, like I said, yeah, I'm probably your biggest fan because when I read them, I said, a few hours and it's done. You know,
well, that's the fun for me. It's like figuring it out along the way is fun, and it's just so joyful. And I know that some authors say that the writing process is so difficult. No, for me, it's just the most joyful thing ever. It's it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am grateful that people like what I write.
Oh,
so I can keep doing it.
Well, I sure do. And to tell you a story, I had the first book I read of yours was The Daughters of the Lake. And it was right after Christmas time, must have been a couple of years ago. And must have been right when it came out, because I was very sick, right? I had the flu or something. And I was searching in Kindle looking for something with a paranormal twist, you know. And I found your book, and there I was with this big fever, right? And I'm laying in bed reading this book. And I had to put it down occasionally, but I think I read it all, like, within, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours or something. And,
oh,
you know, when you're feverish, you know, you kind of wonder, did I dream that? Or did I read that? You know, it was like, it was the best book ever. And I have reread it, you know, after that, because I really wanted to know, with, you know, without being a sicky head, you know, the whole thing, and read it just as fast the second time. So, yeah, and then the Temperance Dare book, and now this one is going just as fast, and you have many others as well. But I think your writing is phenomenal. So
thank you. You know, people ask me, did you ever want to do anything else? Did you, you know, when did you want to become a writer? And it's not that I ever wanted to become a writer; it's that I always was one.
Mm-hmm.
I always identified with that, and thank goodness I can make a living, because mm-hmm. I can't, you know, that's my like one skill. Thank goodness, because I really don't have any other marketable skills.
Oh, now come on. I'm sure you do. I know you do. But so this one's just not even out yet, but do you have ideas for the next one that you're going to write?
Oh, the next one's done.
Oh, you have one done already? Oh, my goodness.
The next one is done, and I just turned it into my editor just a couple days ago.
Wow.
And that one is also set in the Wharton, in Wharton.
Mm-hmm.
And the house. Okay, the house on Front Street where Addie and Jess lived in Wharton is in there. A new family has moved in.
Mm-hmm.
So that house plays a role. But most of the setting is on the island, which people will know as Madeline Island, mm-hmm. but I call it Île de Colette. And it's a home there. And the whole thing, the undercurrent, is Finnish folklore. And you might think, well, that's weird, but Tolkien used it for Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, and I'm Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was 100% Finn. And so I thought, I just, you know, after she passed away, I got interested in the whole idea of that folklore and read up on it and studied it a little bit. And did you ever watch the TV show Grimm?
Yeah, loved it.
So it's sort of based on the idea that what if these stories, these old tales that were handed down and told by the fire to generations, what if they were true?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the basis for this story, and it's about a family who's just lost a matriarch and the chaos that can come after the glue that holds the family together is not there anymore. And it's scarier than Bryn Wilder. But some of the same people are in it. Luann and Gary are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nick is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some stuff that happens, and I think it's a good follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit darker. You know, it goes back to kind of the daughters and the temperance
mm-hmm.
feel.
Mm-hmm.
but it is a lot of things get tied together. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that, and I'm just frankly glad it's finished. I had this deadline and done, and now I can kind of start looking around and start the process of finding something else to write about.
And very now, cool. When is that one going to be published?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Daughters was published in 2018.
Oh.
Was it? No, it was 2019.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be published, I think, either a year from now. I don't know. That's a question I was thinking about myself. It's like it's either going to be 1 or 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm. I bet it'll be 1 year, because I bet when I picked up Daughters of the Lake, it was right around Christmas time. And I remember it was a Kindle book. So it was probably the same Kindle that you have the Bryn Wilder one on now.
Yeah, it came out. Daughters came out in November 1. So that's kind of when they're releasing my book. So, but
well,
yeah,
because I just want to read them all now. See, so can't we just publish them all?
I know, it's just it's so much fun, and I just can't wait to. And I think I'm going to set more in Wharton. I love the fact that characters in previous books can kind of filter back through.
Yeah.
And it just kind of ties, and it brings that town to life.
Wow. And they have all those super, it's a super old town, and they have all those super old buildings that have been there for centuries. And, you know, there's a lot of spirits running around.
Oh, it's, and everybody that lives there just, it's like a given. It's like, oh, yeah, this place is haunted. Oh,
sure.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's not even a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just, okay, that's what we're living with here.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
Okay, so speaking of hauntings, I have to ask you guys,
mm-hmm.
I just bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
In South Minneapolis. I moved in August, and you guys have to come here and see if it, see what's going on.
Oh, are things happening?
Well, things are happening, but they're good things. And mm-hmm. I don't know if, because I moved, I've got my mom's ashes and I have my dad's ashes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's my mom and dad or if it's somebody that was in the house, but helpful things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'll leave a door open and it'll be closed. Or most often it's windows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and these windows are, you know, well, the house is built in 32.
Mm-hmm.
So they're old
mm-hmm.
windows, and they stick, and they're hard to open and they're hard to close. And so once I get them open, sometimes I can't close them.
Oh.
Because they stick that much. And then mm-hmm. I'll go back into the room. It's like, huh.
It's closed.
Okay, that window's closed now.
Hmm.
Cool.
You know, so, in your last house, though, didn't you have things that were happening there, too? I remember you talking about that.
I did. And I don't know. I just feel, but I feel good here, and I mm-hmm. feel sort of protected here.
Well,
so if
good.
Something is here,
mm-hmm.
I think it's positive.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And that's awesome.
And I did have one kind of really kind of, well, I'm not going to say dramatic experience, but one of the reasons I bought this house is that one of the bedrooms is made into an office, and it has two walls of floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. So it's like a library.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started putting my books on the shelves, and I've got this old typewriter that weird things have happened around. And I put that on one of the shelves. And so I was, you know, filling these shelves and, you know, looking at, like, putting old photos, and I have my mom and dad's ashes. And on one of the shelves that I just filled, there was a I noticed a penny standing up next to a book. I mean, there's no way that that could have gotten there.
No.
But by that... I mean, there's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it's just standing there next to this book. It's like, I don't know if it's.
Was there a significance to the book?
Well, it's written by one of my favorite authors who's now a dear friend.
Oh, okay. So do you think it was a message from someone like for that friend or some way to connect or like there's got to be, because why that book, you know?
I don't know. And she and I have talked about that actually. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And it's next to that book. My mom's ashes are on the shelf just beneath it. And I've got, you know how when you have dogs that pass away, you have a paw print in clay. I've got two of those right on that shelf by the penny. Aww. So it's like there's all this stuff swirling around. I'm looking at it right now, actually. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I, you know, people have asked, you know, do you feel anything in the house? It's like, well, if there's anything, it's positive.
Yeah. So,
I think
that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, my house has a ton of activity and, you know, it's all been good. I mean, there's been a few things in the beginning and we took care of it, but it's okay. I mean, most places are going to have something, you know, whether people are aware of it or not, but it's nice when you kind of feel a safety, you know, of what, with what's going on or some kind of care, you know, that there's a caring feeling or a safety feeling when it's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's like if they're closing windows when it's cold, or maybe I've forgotten to close a window when I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up in the morning and it's closed. It's like, well, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a caring thing.
Yes.
So.
Yes. No, I think
my son came and was a little freaked out, you know, about it. But I said, you know, if something's here, it's glad I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's awesome. So that's a good thing. Or it could be one of your parents hanging out, you know? I mean, I often, I know I've said this before, but I know my dad hangs out quite often. I haven't seen him for a while, but I know he's here, you know, and they're just watching out for you, you know?
Well, I hope they are. And I would love to, you know, have the ability that you guys have to be able to really understand that and see that. And, you know, if my parents were here, I'd love to know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be fun. Well, you just let us know. We'd love to come. You know, it might be kind of fun to do a little seance-y thing and see what we can find too. You know, you just never know.
That would be
lovely. Mm-hmm. Gosh, the chat room is just kind of talking about crazy things now, but as you know, but yeah, so, okay. So this one's coming out November 1st. So people, if you want to read a great book, pre-order it on Amazon. If you have a Kindle or a tablet, you can download it on, you can go get it tonight. I suggest you do that.
I don't have Kindle.
Oh yeah, so it's you can get it for cheap.
Yeah.
I saw that. I ordered my book.
Yeah, I'm probably going to order the actual book too because I really prefer books to Kindle. But I had to read it right away because that's how I am, you know. So
I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, so I uploaded it, but yeah, I'd much rather have the paper. I like the paper version, you know.
I do too. I don't have a Kindle. I don't, and I should have one now that I'm on the bestseller list. It feels kind of weird that I'm not a Kindle reader, but I like a book.
I do too. But every once in a while, and the only reason I don't have I have a tablet, you know, I have my Samsung tablet. And I think the only reason I ever started getting books that way was because I think it was when I found Daughters of the Lake, actually, Wendy. And I think it was because I needed something to read, and I had read all my books. So I just thought, well, I'm going to go and see what's there. And then I found that, you know, and so I've read a few books since then on there because it's probably late at night. I don't have anything fresh to read. So I want something to read. So, I mean, it's instant gratification, right? You just go on there and there it is. Yeah. You know? But I personally would much rather have the paper version, and I have lots of books. You know, you can, I have a whole wall of them down here in my studio. So, so I will order that too. But anyway, people, I'm just saying, however you want to read it, Kindle, paper, Wendy Webb, it's called The Haunting of Bryn Wilder. And her book before that, which we keep talking and going back to, is Daughters of the Lake, which is phenomenal. And then the darker one is, well, you have more than that, but those are the most recent three. And the darker one is the,
the end of Temperance Dare.
Yes, yes, yes. Why do I have such a hard time with the title of that book? I just don't know. But that one's a very dark one.
It's
but
so dark. It really it is. It is. It's spooky. I've heard from people.
Yeah, it is really spooky. That's why you're telling me this next one is really spooky too. I can't wait because
it is. It's not as scary as Temperance, but it's getting there. There's some stuff that goes on.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And like I said, this one will be done in the next day or two. And then I'll have to get the paper book and then I'll read that, you know, after I've read it. And then I'll say, oh, I forgot about that. You know, because I was in such a hurry to read it the first time through. But yeah, so everyone, you know, I can't say enough about Wendy because I just think her books are phenomenal. They're just, you can't put them down once you start reading them. And they just grab you and pull you right in, and they have a paranormal twist, which of course we love, you know. So, Wendy, we have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything that you want to talk about in these last couple of minutes? And where can people find you? Do you have a website? I know you have a Facebook page.
I do. I have both. I've got Wendy Webb Author is my Facebook and Twitter, but you know, I don't really use Twitter a whole lot because I got locked out of there a couple of years ago, and I had spent years like building up my Twitter following, and then I couldn't get back in. And so now I've got like 200 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
It's like Twitter's dead to me now.
Yeah.
But I've got a Facebook page. It's Wendy Webb Author. Instagram, same, Wendy Webb Author. My website is wendykweb.com. And there is one other kind of weird thing I wanted to mention, and that there's another Wendy Webb who has published a book in my genre.
Oh.
And a lot of my readers have thought that this book was mine, and it is not.
Mm.
And my publisher got involved and had a sort of come to Jesus meeting and said, you can't publish under her name and trade on her success anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want people to know that there's a book called Widow's Walk, and it looks like mine and the description looks like me, but it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that when I was looking up your books on Amazon, and I was like, I haven't heard you mention that. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a nightmare last year, and my publisher was really supportive and got on it, and but a lot of readers bought that book thinking it was mine, and
they got several pages into it and said, this doesn't sound like Wendy's normal work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of email like, are you okay? Because it was so different than, readers are used to hearing from me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no, okay, we've got to do something about this, I guess. So
that's not good. So anyway, I put all that information out on our chat. So find your books, read them. Thank you, Wendy, for being on. Oh, much luck with your book and success. I know you'll have it. It's phenomenal.
Yes, thank you.
And everyone, thank you for joining us tonight and listening in. And the troops, if you're out there, thank you for your service.
Thank you to ParaX for hosting us, for our amazing producer, Sarge. And for everybody listening and tuning in the chat room, we are so glad to be here. And we will see you all next week here on the ParaX Radio Network.
Night, everyone. Make it a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.